God the Son, God the Eternal Son, stepped into space and time, and He made Himself human so that you might receive the gift of eternal life and blessing upon blessing forever.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, Christmas is a time of celebration. It's a time of celebration of our Savior. It's a time of celebration of God's love and mercy and grace. It's a time of celebration of His faithfulness, faithfulness to us today and forever. It's about hope, eternal hope, hope for today, each day of our lives, hope forever, eternal hope. You know, there are many of us here in this room who had some pretty rough times in 2019. Can anyone relate to going through a difficult time in 2019? Well, you know, I too had some pretty big challenges in 2019. And I remember there was one day as all of it was just seeming to come together, all of these various things weighing heavily on me, and just asking myself or saying to myself, or actually not to myself, but saying to the Lord, Lord, how am I going to do all of this? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. But then at that moment, in a most unusual way, my attention was drawn to that symbol right there. It's the symbol of eternity. And in that moment, I was powerfully reminded of my eternal hope and the need then for me to view everything that was happening at that moment through the lens of eternity. And to know that God had that. God had that situation, all of those situations in His hand, and that I could trust Him, and that whatever was to become through it, I could trust my eternal hope in my eternal God through it all. So then today, then, as we are celebrating Christmas as followers of Jesus, we do have eternal hope, and we can view all things from an eternal perspective, because the eternal Son of God stepped into space and time, and He brought us eternal hope. So, at Christmas then, we celebrate. We celebrate the arrival of our Savior from eternity into space and time. And so then, as we continue our Christmas series here, we want us to see that we can receive the gift of our Savior, receive the gift of our Savior, your Savior, that God the Son, God the Eternal Son, stepped into space and time, and He made Himself human so that you might receive the gift of eternal life and blessing upon blessing forever. I'm going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where there the Scripture tells us there that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." These are some powerful words of Scripture here, aren't they? I have to tell you, these are some of my favorite verses in the Scripture right here. I love these verses here. I love what it teaches us here about Jesus Christ. You know, you ask a lot of people, you know, well, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And you might get, and they say, well, he was a prophet. Well, yes, he was. Others say, well, he was a great teacher. He was a great moral teacher. And I would say, well, yes, he was. He was a teacher. He was a great teacher as well. But he wasn't only a prophet, a teacher, and he wasn't only a man. He was a man, but he wasn't only a man. He was and is God, the eternal Son of God. And John makes that very clear to us. So in these passages, we are given a powerful and compelling portrait of our Savior. Who is Jesus? Well, here we see that Jesus, he is the eternal Word who was with God and is God, that he is the creator of all that has been made, that he is life and light, that he was rejected by many. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Do you think he chose those words, "in the beginning," randomly? No, of course he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right, in doing that. But when you think about it, "in the beginning," where do you think of in the Scriptures? Is there another place in the Scriptures that says, "in the beginning"? Where's that? In Genesis, the very first words of the Bible, right? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is God, and he is the Creator. He was in the beginning, that is, the beginning of space and time and the material universe. As some of you know, I'm a fan of astronomy. I love cosmology, astronomy, the theories of origins of all things. Now, I think we do know the ultimate origin of all things, right? But I love the study of that. I love the study of space and the stars. And so even now, scientists acknowledge, the philosophers have known this all along, theologians have known it even longer, that there was a time when there was no time. And that's hard for us to think about, isn't it? The universe, the material universe, everything, has not always existed. But everything came into existence out of nothing, suddenly. Now, we have no, the scientists, unbelieving scientists, have no explanation for that. But it's true. Everything came into existence out of nothing, suddenly, including time. It's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? Well, we know it's because the God is eternal. He created time. And we say, well, God has always existed and he always will. Well, that's true, but don't think of that in terms of God being in time and bound by time in the way that we are. He is outside of that. He created time. So yes, he has always existed, he does, and he always will, but he created time. Time had a beginning. And in that beginning, there was God. And there was the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus here is called the Word. Why is that word used? Well, there's a very good reason why John, through the inspiration of the Spirit, used that word. See, a word is what? It's an expression. We use words to express ourselves, right? To reveal things. Through the power of speech and the Word. Well, Jesus is the expression of God, the revelation of God. And so to the Jewish mind, the Hebrew mind, the Word of God was God's expression in through the prophets in the written words of the Scripture. Well, Jesus is the very embodiment of that expression of God, the Word of God. That's how the Jewish mind would understand that. But it also had a meaning, though, to the Gentile mind, to the Greek mind, where that word had a philosophical overtone, which referred to that which organizes the universe and holds the universe together. And so in that one word, you have the expression of God, who also is the one who is the origin, the creation, the expression, the organizing principle of all things of the universe. And he is that, isn't he? So Jesus is the Word, God's self-expression. All of the expressive organizing of the universe is him. He was in the beginning. Jesus is eternal. Jesus, the man, had a beginning, but Jesus, the Son of God, had no beginning. He is eternal. It says he was with God and he was God. Now, how can you both be with God and be God? The statement of itself there doesn't make much sense to us, right? You can be with God and be God. But of course, we understand from the full revelation of Scripture there, that's what? That God is a Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How many gods are there? One. But God eternally exists in three persons. Three eternal, co-equal persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God the Son was with God the Father and God the Spirit. And God the Son is God. And that is how you can be with God and be God. And he was the creator of all. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, how many things were made through him? All things. And without him was what? Not anything made that was made. There's a heretical thought out there expressed by some that says, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He was the first of God's creation. Well, that doesn't fit in a whole lot of Scripture, but right there, right? Because he is the creator of everything that was made. So he was in the beginning with God and was God, and he is the creator, the maker of all things. Amen. You know, I always find that just amazing to contemplate, well, any time, but especially at Christmas, when we think of Jesus, we think of him, what, as the little baby in the manger, right? And he was a little baby in a manger, but he is the sovereign Lord of the universe who made all things. Isn't that something? That baby made you and everything. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. He is the creator of all. And John tells us in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That Jesus is life and light. Now we would say Jesus is life. There is, first of all, he's physical life, isn't he? None of us would be here without him. If he had not created us, we would not be here. He is the origin of life, of all physical life. But I don't think that's what John is emphasizing here. What is he emphasizing? Spiritual life, right? Physical life, but also spiritual life. Life that endures forever. It is blessing and goodness. Spiritual life. When we say that when we believe in Jesus, we are given eternal life, that doesn't mean just, well, we'll live forever. Everyone's going to live forever. The question is what kind of life that is and where you live that life, right? And so he is spiritual life. He's eternal life. He is life and he is light. When we say in Scripture that Jesus is the light, what is the light? It means that he is truth and goodness, moral goodness. The light is truth and moral goodness. Whereas darkness is what? It's falsehood, it's error, it's lies, and it's moral fallenness, depravity. It's sin. Do we live in a dark world? We do. But the scripture says what? The light shines in the darkness, doesn't he? The light shines in the darkness. And I love how it says there, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know what? Try as it may, the darkness of this world has not, cannot, and never will extinguish or overcome the light of Christ, will it? Never. No matter what direction this world goes or what it does, no matter how much it twists truth and moral goodness, calls good evil and evil good, no matter what it does, the light continues to shine in the darkness and will never, the darkness will never overcome the light. And that light, Jesus, he will have the final triumph and victory over the darkness, won't he? He already has. He's already overcome the darkness through his life, death, and resurrection. But that outworking of that victory is still a work in progress, isn't it? At least from our perspective, from his eternal perspective, it's already done, isn't it? But we continue to see that worked out in time for us. So he is the eternal Word. He is the Creator. He is life and light. And you would think when God stepped into this world, the world would be eager to receive him, wouldn't it? To receive its Creator, to welcome him. Not so much, right? He did not get a very good welcome into this world that he created, did he? It says what? He was rejected. He was rejected by many. He came to his own, but what? They rejected him. They did not receive him. Now, when Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world that he made, the people that he made, they did not receive him. The world generally, people generally did not receive him. But also his own, who is that referring to? He was Jewish, right? He came into the world as a Jewish human man to his people, the Jewish people, some of whom believed in him and received him, but others who did not. And he was rejected then, even then, by his own. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end there, though? The Son of God humbles himself, takes on human flesh, is made like one of us. He comes to his own. And they rejected him. End of story. No, it doesn't end there, does it? There were many who did believe in him. And he said what? To those who did receive him, who believed in him. What does it mean to receive him? It means to believe in him. To put our faith and our trust in him and who he is. What he has done. To all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, God has a family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the eternal fellowship of the Godhead. But he has made us, he has made human beings in his image to know him, to be objects of his eternal love and favor. And so he calls you and me, all who believe in him, believe in Jesus, we become children of God, sons and daughters of God. Now there is only one, the Son of God, isn't there? But through faith in Jesus, we all become sons and daughters, children of God. He becomes our brother. Then I know sometimes some of us might think in our families, oh, I wish I would have had a big brother. Anybody here wish you would have had a big brother? Okay, there's one or two hands there, right? How many of you are thinking, I wish I wouldn't have had the big brother I have, right? Okay, all right, I saw that over there. Yeah. Well, you know what? We all who believe in Jesus have a big brother. Jesus is our brother, our big brother. And we are family. We are the family of God, children of God, all who believe. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He became flesh. the Son of God became human. And that doesn't just mean he took on a human body. He did. He had a human body just like ours. But it also means what? He took on a human nature, a human spirit. He was in every way human, what it means to be human. He was that. He took all of that on, but with one very important difference. No sin. He did not have a corrupt nature. He had a perfect human nature. He had a nature like Adam and Eve had before the fall into sin. A perfect human nature. And unlike Adam, he was obedient and he never sinned. And so his human nature remained pure and righteous. He passed the test that Adam failed. So when he took on flesh, not just God in a bod, as has been said. How many of you? Oh, okay. Oh, who just heard that? I thought that was common to do that, right? Okay, all right. God in a bod. You just heard that. Well, there you go. Don't say you don't learn anything here in this church. You just did, right? So, right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he is God in a bod, but he's the God-man. He's the God-man. And from him we have received grace upon grace. I love that verse there that says grace upon grace, because the word picture there is like ocean waves. How many of you have ever been to the ocean? Yeah. Or even Lake Michigan, if you haven't been to the ocean, you can get a little slight sense of it there at Lake Michigan. Not so much at Wonder Lake. You don't really get that same sense there, right? Center Beach, not so much. But those waves upon waves that just keep coming and coming and coming. And that's the picture there of God's grace. It's God's grace. You can never, I can never exhaust God's grace. Grace upon grace, like ocean waves. And Jesus then revealed the Father. So he is our Savior. And we celebrate today then the gift of the Savior. As I referenced a little earlier, and we looked at this a little bit earlier in our Christmas series here, we saw how in Romans 5, the Scripture refers to Jesus as the second man, or the second Adam, or the last Adam, as opposed to the first man, the first Adam. And so what does it mean when it refers to Jesus in that way? It means it's the way that the Scriptures address the fact that the first Adam was a representative of the entire human race, of you and me, and that through him we were all disobedient and we all inherited a sinful nature. And because of that first Adam, the one man, the many, all of us, were made sinners. But now, through Jesus, the second Adam, the second representative of the human race, the many, all who believe in him, have been made righteous. The first Adam fell into sin, and all of us were made sinners. The second Adam was obedient, and through faith in him, the many, all who believe in him, are made righteous. So the first Adam brought sin and death and condemnation, but the second Adam brings righteousness, life, and blessing forever. Righteousness, life, grace, blessing forever. Righteousness, right standing with God, holiness in nature and conduct and character. Eternal blessing in God's presence. Grace, eternal kindness and favor for us, undeserving sinners. Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law and gives us the gift of perfect obedience and grace forever and ever. Jesus truly is that greatest gift ever given. And this gift doesn't last for 8 months, 8 weeks, 8 years, 8 seconds. It lasts forever, right? It lasts forever. And Jesus, who is the gift, the greatest gift ever given, has brought gifts with him. The blessings of our salvation, forgiveness, peace with God, acceptance, God accepts you in Christ wholly and completely, and He will never reject you. He gives us holiness, eternal life. He adopts us to be His children, sons and daughters of God. He gives us every spiritual blessing. God has withheld nothing good from us. Access to the throne of grace, sovereign wisdom and good purpose, hope, a resurrected body, eternal reward. Pretty good, wouldn't you say? These are wonderful gifts. So what? What do you want to do about it? Take us where we started. Remember that God the Son stepped into space and time, and He made Himself human so that you might receive the gift of eternal life and blessing upon blessing forever. Receive the gift of it, but it must be received by faith to turn away from sin and put your trust in Him, in His life, His death, taking the punishment for our sins upon Himself. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And Scripture says when we believe in that, believe in Him, we will be saved. We will be delivered from condemnation and judgment and have eternal life and blessing. We know that we have in Jesus all of these blessings. But we need to constantly, at least I do, constantly receive the gifts of the Savior. They're given to us once for all. But I need constant reminder. Anybody else here need constant reminders of the truth of Scripture, right? To walk in these truths and receive daily the gifts of the Spirit. And then rejoice. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the Savior. The eternal Son of God stepped into space and time that you and I might have the hope of eternal life, of eternal favor, eternal blessing. But sometimes we need reminders when we go through the hardship of life. God has not promised to spare us all trouble in life, has He? We need that reminder of our eternal hope. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Christmas has many wonderful elements to it, but what it's really about and what it's most important is what? Our Savior, our hope, our eternal hope. And that hope gives us eternal perspective here and now, always. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the hope, eternal hope that we have in Jesus. God, I pray if there is someone here who is understanding that hope, perhaps for the first time, that Your Spirit would work in his heart, his mind, her heart, her mind, to turn in faith to You, to receive You now, Lord Jesus, to receive the gift of eternal life through faith in You, to turn away from sin, to turn to You, and say, I believe. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving me now as I confess my sin and receive Your life for me. Lord, may we all be reminded of that eternal hope and that need for that eternal perspective when we encounter the hardships and difficulties of life that inevitably come our way. May we remember that we have eternal hope because we know, we love, we serve an eternal Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.